On self-sufficiency is a lie.
Hell yeah, Christian! Let's go, baby!
My name's Chris. I'm an addict.
Hey, Chris.
First off, I'd like to say, man, this is an honor to be able to share at March Madness. I really hope this would never happen. I don't know, man. I always get paranoid because I'm like, why the hell did they ask me to speak? You know, because I'm crazier than fuck, you know? And I always think they're out to get me. They're trying to make me look stupid, you know? But I do that on my own. So, my topic is self-sufficiency is a lie. And, you know, I got a lot of experience with that. My claim date is December the 17th of 2015. And, man, it's been a long fucking road. You know, like, I grew up with good parents and stuff. You know, like, I really didn't have that to blame it on. I was just fucked up in the head from early age, you know what I mean? And I grew up with four sisters and a mom. Like, I never felt like I fit in my own house, you know, because there wasn't no guys around. And, I mean, I was always trying to make them happy, and I never could. You know, wasn't ever good enough. And I still feel like that, you know. I don't know. So, like, all the guys in my family, they was all going to prison, and they was all using drugs and stuff, so I felt like that's something that I had to do in order to fit in. So I started doing that early on, you know. From about the age of 13, man, I was pretty wild. I was never home. I was always, you know, the chicken fights or just down the road somewhere else. I never stayed home. Like, I didn't go to school, none of that. So, as time progressed, man, I turned 18, I got locked up. You know, I'd done all the things that I thought I had to do to be able to fit in with the men and stuff in my family, and I was still the black sheep of the family. Like, they still didn't want me around, you know what I mean? And it wasn't that they didn't want me around, it was just the way that I was acting, they didn't want no part of it, you know? So, I continued to use and all that shit, you know, and when I get clean, got clean when I was 26 years old. And I still had some wreckage of the past to deal with, so I ended up going back to jail. And I get out on parole, and I go to IOP and all that stuff. Well, while I'm in IOP, I meet this girl. You know, she didn't have a car. I did, type deal. So I start seeing her. A year later, I marry her. We have a kid. Everything's great, you know. Start going to meetings. And as I continue to go, man, it's like I get around that 5-year mark, and I'm like, I got everything that I need, you know what I mean? I've got the wife, I've got the kid, I've got the house, the dog, all that shit, you know? And, like, that's all I ever wanted, you know? I wanted to be a dad. I wanted to have my own shit. You know, because I never had nothing that was mine, you know? And so I quit going to meetings, you know? I come in, I got everything that I fucking needed, and I left. Thanks, I'm out, you know? Forgot the very thing that helped me get all that shit. You know, so whenever, like, there was a reading a couple days ago, and it was like, sometimes we feel like we know more than the other members of Narcotics Anonymous, and it's like I felt like that, you know what I mean? Like, not necessarily that I felt like that I knew more about the program, but I knew more about me. You know, they didn't know how to help me no more, you know? So when I think about that, man, I think about how fucking stupid I was, because like, I can think about, like, well, I know me better than anybody, you know, but it's like all the shit that I was doing, somebody else had already done, and they knew what was about to fucking happen to me, you know? And they told me, you know, they done their due diligence, you know, they let me know, you're fucking up, and I didn't care, you know, I thought I could do it on my own, you know, so then, you know, thank God I didn't use, but I mean, fuck, I used every fucking thing else around me. I was going out on my marriage, I was doing all this shit, I was buying boats and fucking fixing them. It was anything that I could do just to keep my mind occupied, and I knew, like, I'd be sitting there with my buddy working on that boat, and I'm like, this is going to get me divorced, you know. And little did I know that was fucking real, you know. Like, because it fucking happened. And it wasn't really like a... And it sounds fucked up because I was miserable anyway, you know what I mean? So, like, whenever all that shit come out, it was like I was pissed off, you know what I mean? Because it wasn't my idea.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it wasn't my idea to get divorced. Like, I was happy doing what I was fucking doing, you know, because I was doing whatever I wanted to do. I wasn't ever home. I was fucking work on that boat till 12 o'clock at night, get up, go to work. You know what I mean? And, you know, it pissed me off. Like, how the fuck are you going to divorce me? You know? And, so all that shit happened, man. So it was like at that, like, I got 7 years clean, and then I was divorced, and, it was real humbling, man, because I can remember packing all my shit into one bag, you know, and then going to my buddy's house because my higher power's got a real good sense of humor. It was like all the shit that happened after that is everything that I needed, you know. Like, I remember walking into my buddy's house on New Year's Eve, and everybody's at Lacna. I sit my bag down, I look up, and there's a gun laying on the counter. And I'm like, man, I could really blow my fucking brains out right now, because using didn't sound like a good idea. You know, but blowing my fucking head off did, you know, because I'd lost everything that I fucking ever wanted in life, and I really didn't even want it then, you know, but I had it, and it was mine, I felt like, and it was like nothing could take it from me, you know. So when I think about self-sufficiency, man, it was like at that moment I realized that I couldn't do it on my own, and my higher power knew that too, because he put me in the house with two addicts that was going through the same exact thing that I was going through. Different backgrounds to all of it, but we were all going through that stage together, you know. And I get fucked up behind this podium because I like to move around. I'm like, oh god, you know. But so whenever that happened, man, it was like I had nowhere to turn. Like, whenever I packed my bags and left my house, it was like I didn't call my family. You know, when it talks about self-sufficiency in the first tradition, man, it goes on to talk about unity, you know. Like, I reached out to the fellowship, you know, my friends in the fellowship. That's who I called, you know. I called one of my buddies, and he's like, come sleep on my couch tonight. He picked me up. I'm crying, bawling my fucking eyes out because I just lost everything. I didn't have nowhere to fucking go, man. 7 years clean, and I was going to be sleeping in my truck, you know. So he picks me up, and he drives me around, feeds me cheeseburgers, had to force feed me because I wasn't fucking trying to eat, you know. I was trying to fucking, like, the thought of killing myself was so strong that, you know, I didn't feel like doing anything else, you know. And so as time goes on, man, it's like I can remember laying on this fucking couch in self-pity, misery mode for fucking months. And my buddy's like, you want to go to a meeting? I'm like, fuck that meeting. You know, I didn't want to show back up because, fuck, I was embarrassed, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't believe that I'd let my life come to what it had come to, you know? Knowing the solution, you know what I mean? And working at a place telling people the solution, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you got to go to meetings. You got to work steps. Have fun doing that, you know what I mean? Because I sure as fuck ain't, you know? So it was like, finally, I remember the day that I come back into a meeting, man, and I sat down. It was like, everybody was like, oh, welcome back, you know, hug me and shit. And I was like, fuck. And I just sat there miserable as fuck. Like, I had this look on my face. And I still got that look a lot, but it's like, I can't see good, so I'll be squinting a lot, you know. Everybody's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? But, so, I remember I shared a lot of crazy shit, and I still do sometimes, you know. But I was just so fucking angry, you know. And people be coming up to me after meeting, why are you so miserable? And I'm like, I'm not miserable. I'm fucking happy, you know? And that was a lie. Like, I was fucking miserable, man. And it sucked because I'd done it all to myself. You know, and I ain't going to sit here and say that if I'd have continued going to meetings and continued working steps, that marriage would have worked out. Because I was fucking miserable from the very first beginning of it all. You know what I mean? And, like, there was times when I was happy, and it was like, this is great. But then it was like, there was always, like, I always got this feeling like I want something more. You know what I mean? And, like, I'm never satisfied. And I still carry that, man. It's like, I can't be content with what I have, you know? And that's a bad fucking feeling to have, man, because it's like I can get these things. I'm like, man, I love this, you know? And I love it for the moment, and then it's like the next day I'm like, well, what else can I get? You know, I want something else. This would make it better. You know what I mean? And it don't. So, like, whenever I come back this time, it was like I dug back in, man. I got a different sponsor. I started working steps. And somebody asked me whenever I come back, they was like, well, when was you the happiest? You know, and it was like, well, when I was going to meetings and I was working steps, you know, I was actually working on me. And so I decided to try that again, you know. It's like I've never really had a successful relationship, and I always try to do this shit on my own, you know. My mom used to have a real good relationship, and then it turned into like we couldn't even be in the same room together because my mom was like the disciplinary thing in my life. My dad worked out of town all the time, so it was like I was a fucking hellion. I'd shoot the windows out of her car. She come around the back of the house one time, and I had our fucking family cat Patches by the neck down in the kiddie pool. What are you doing to Patches? And I was like, I'm bathing the motherfucker, and my arms are bleeding. I'm killing this fucking cat. You know, I didn't know no better. She beat the fuck out of me over it, you know? It's like it was always something. And I remember I got a Razor scooter for Christmas one year. And I left it on the porch, and she tripped over it, and she yelled at me, and I took off running, and she slung it like a boomerang and hit me in the back of the head with it. She had to fuck me up, you know? I was mean. But, and my little sisters and stuff, man. Well, I got one little sister, and I got four older ones. And I was always so paranoid, like when they'd babysit me, they'd fucking make me lunch, some chicken noodle soup or something. They'd sit it down. I'm like, I ain't eating. I thought they was trying to kill me. You know, that's how I felt early on. You know what I mean? Like before I ever used, I felt like my sisters was trying to kill me and shit. And then a while ago, I set my water bottle down outside, and I go to get it, and it's gone. And I was like, what the fuck? So then I leave, and I go get a bottle of water, and I come back, and it's there again. And I'm like, I looked at it, and there's some woman sitting. She's like, some guy brought it over here, said it wasn't his. And I'm like, I'll just set it over here and let somebody else have that son of a bitch, because I'm not drinking out of it. You know what I mean? Paranoid as fuck. And it's like, so I automatically, instead of sitting with that thought by myself, I go tell everybody I know somebody's trying to kill me. You know what I mean? They're like, what the fuck? And Whitney's like, just get up there and tell them I saved your life. And I'm like, I will. So Whitney saved my life. You know what I mean? And she said, just wash it. And I was like, I don't know. It's probably something in there you can't wash out, you know. But it's like, so I come back into the rooms, and I realize that I can't do nothing alone, you know, because I've done been trying that for 30 years, you know. And I fucked all that up. So I come back, and it was like I'd been going to meetings for a couple months, and we go to, I think it was Recovery by the Lake, and that Sunday we're fixing to leave, and somebody walks up to me, and they're like, what are you doing August 8th? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know. And they're like, okay, come speak. And I'm like, why the fuck would you ask me that? I'm the sickest motherfucker here right now, you know what I mean? Because I'm always way sicker than everybody else. I know more than everybody else. I'm all this shit, you know? So I go up there and I share, man. I just get fucking butthole naked in front of everybody. And one of the old predecessors comes up to me. He's like, well, you got honest. That's, you know, and I'm like, that's the only thing I know to do. You know what I mean? It's like, if I can do anything right, it's share honestly. Sometimes too honestly. My sponsor tells me that I don't always have to be so brutally honest, you know? And that's real hard for me because I got a mouth on me and I talk a lot of shit, you know? But I'm getting better, you know what I mean? Because I'm trying to start watching my mouth a little bit, but it ain't working too good. But I am growing a little bit, you know? It's growth.
That's right.
And, I think about all the stuff that happened, you know, all the shit that I caused. And it's like I can sit here and I'm like, oh, this is horrible. It sucks. But really, man, it's all a blessing. You know what I mean? Because that's my experience. And I get to help somebody else with it, you know? So, like, if you go through a divorce, you can call me. And I'll give you some advice or suggestions about how to get a lawyer, you know? That's about all I know to do, man. Don't try to do it yourself. But so as I go on, man, it's like I start getting asked to speak, and then I start getting more involved, and I'm of service. I'm secretary of my home group, and it's like I'm surrounding myself with people because I know that I can't do it by myself anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that was the ass-whipping that I needed, you know? And, you know, so I was running around. I was a big whore for a while, and it was like, I can remember one of my friends was like, man, I don't want to live like this no more. And I was like, quit being a pussy, you know? sorry about that, you know? And then it was like a couple months later, I was like, man, I don't fucking want to live like this either, you know? Because I felt like shit about it. And I start praying, man, like, God, just please take me out of my life. Don't let me do anything, you know? Just keep my hands out of it, you know? And it was like 2 months later, and I'm on Facebook, and it's fucking, I'm like, well, this bitch has hoarded everything I got, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And so then I get in another relationship, and it's like, I fucked that up, you know what I mean? Constantly, if I got anything to do with it, I'm gonna turn it all fuck, you know. So it's like everything goes good for a while, and then I start getting that feeling again, like, well, I want something more, you know what I mean? And I always get that. And I don't know how. Like, I'm, it's something. It's in my step work, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking for the fucking solution to it, you know. It's just sometimes, man, I don't know. I just want to take control of shit. And it's like, I don't want to allow the process to work, you know? Like, I want it now. And it just, for me, man, it's like, whenever I sit down by myself, I can be alone in a room, and I feel okay. And that's what fucking gets me. It's like, when I get in that isolation, I'm fine. And then whenever I get around a bunch of people, I feel like I've got to be something else, you know? And it fucks me up, because I know who I am, but it's like, who am I going to be tomorrow, you know? So, I know today, like, whenever shit ain't going right in my life, it's because I ain't doing something, you know? And I can sit and I can listen to people say, well, my life sucks, this sucks, and this sucks, and it's like, well, mine does too, but, you know, I can see it getting better. As time goes on, the more that I apply myself and I apply spiritual principles in my life, you know, and I don't do it to the best of my fucking ability all the time, you know. I know that whenever I start getting in control of things, everything starts falling apart. And it's like, I can say in control, but it's like, am I really? You know, because I'm fucking everything that I touch up, man. And it's like, I build these relationships and I burn them down. As soon as I get happy, it's like, I don't want to be happy, and I'll start setting fires in my life, you know? I don't know. I really just, whenever they asked me to speak, man, I was like, man, I don't want to fucking do this. Because they didn't ask me. They asked every fucking body else. They told me that I was going to get up here and speak, like 2 days ago. So I've been fucking freaking out, you know? But it really is, like, this is the, I don't know, man, this is like, I'll be like a turning point in my life, because I'm to this point to where I'm not happy alone, and I'm not happy with somebody else either.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I've got to change something.
Yeah.
You know, because I know what it feels like to feel like that, because I felt like that for the first fucking 5.5 years that I was clean, you know? And I don't want to feel like that again, man. Because, like, the fact that I didn't want to use drugs, but I wanted to blow my brains out, scares me to fucking death, because I never felt like that before in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I never wanted to kill myself. And, like, that's how progressive this is, man, because people can say, oh, the disease don't want you dead. The fuck it don't, because it's trying to kill me right now. You know, like, I'd rather jump out this fucking window than sit up here and finish however much fucking time I got. You know? But I know that, like, there are people in the rooms that have felt like that too, and I'm starting to find them. You know, that's why I share about it. I share honestly about where I'm at, man. That way I can get some fucking help with how I'm feeling. You know, I can come in here and be like, oh, I'm great, laughing, cutting up, because I do that. And everybody's like, oh, he's great. I'm gonna leave him the fuck alone then. You know? Closed mouths don't get fed. You know? But today, like, I woke up and I was like, man, I'm gonna take a shower. I'm gonna go down here and I'm gonna share my little heart out, you know? And I go in there and I take a shower and I go to my bag and I'm looking, I'm like, damn, did I really not pack no fucking underwear? You know what I mean? Like, I got one pair of boxers and I got them on. You know what I mean? Son of a bitch. I can't share. I ain't got clean underwear. I can't go up there with no underwear on, you know? So I was like, fuck it, man. I wore them for weeks at a time. You know what I mean? Like, fucking one day old ain't going to hurt nothing. So I put the son of bitches on and come up here. You know what I mean? Because I show up, man, and it's like everybody shows up for me. You know, I come up here and I was like, man, I had to put dirty underwear on. They're like, I got some in the room. You want some? And I'm like, I ain't trying to wear yours, you know? Justin's like, just put on a pair of Hannah's panties. And I'm like, her cat's bigger than my dick. I can't fucking do that, you know? I can't be showing up looking like that. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck? Yeah. So, it's like, we're trying to get in the solution here, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. It's like, I just wear my own underwear, you know what I mean? I ain't got no experience in that, so, I don't know. But, I don't know, man. It's like, that's my defense mechanism is what I just done, making you all laugh. Because I'm like, I'm real nervous, but if I make them laugh, I won't be as nervous, you know? So I'll just start talking shit about somebody else, you know, to get the focus off of me. Quit looking at me, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. I was going to read this piece of literature about self-sufficiency, but I ain't going to. Because I don't share literature and stuff like that. I read it, but I can't memorize it. And then you get some people up here and they just quote it off the top of their head, and then I'm up here like trying to read it and I can't see and I'm squinting and shit, so I ain't gonna do it. But it's like, as it goes on to talk about unity, man, it's like, that's the big fucking deal to me. Because if it wasn't for the people in these rooms, I don't know where I'd be. You know what I mean? Like, when I come back, that's who I reached out to. I didn't call my family, like I said, man, because they would have put me in the fucking psych ward if I told them, well, I'm thinking about blowing my brains out. You know? They'd be like, oh, fuck, we got to call the law. You know what I mean? And it's like, God, please don't do that. You know, I got a truck full of guns, and I'm a convicted felon. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to hem me up. You know? So, I just reached out to people in the rooms, man, and it was like, instead of putting me in the fucking psych ward, they tried to take me to a meeting and feed me cheeseburgers and shit like that, you know?
That's right, man.
Sat and cried with me.
Right.
Like, I've never in my life sat down on a couch and held another man and bawled my fucking eyes out. You know what I mean? And it felt good.
Fuck yeah.
You know, it felt fucking good to have somebody that was there and I knew actually cared about me.
Yeah.
You know? That wanted to see me get better, that wanted to see me live. You know? And that was a big deal, man, because I don't know, like, to be able to come into the rooms and finally build an intimate relationship with another man, something that I always wanted, you know, because my dad worked out of town all the fucking time. He never was around, so I looked everywhere else. You know, I needed a father figure. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that I could follow, somebody that would teach me stuff. You know what I mean? And I didn't care what they taught me. You know? I didn't give a damn what it was, man. I was just looking for some kind of connection with somebody else. You know, because I didn't have it at home. I couldn't connect with my mom. I couldn't connect with my sisters. You know what I'm saying? They was bitches, man. God, they was mean. I was too, though. You know? So, it's like, today, I walk downstairs, and when I come into the lobby, I see somebody that I hadn't seen in a very long time, you know? And it was somebody that was there for me as a kid, you know? And they're fucking clean. After years, man. It's like they're fucking clean. And it's like, I can remember I was in jail with this person. I run the roads with this person. Like, this was my fucking best friend, you know? And to be able to see them walk in here with a smile on their face, 5 minutes, give me 10. You know, it's very important. You know, it let me know that this fucking program works, you know? And for me to be able to be here and for them to see me, man, that's fucking, it's a good feeling, man, because I've prayed for this person. You know what I mean? Like, we say the serenity prayer at the meetings, man, it's like, we prayed this guy in here, you know? Because whenever we would say that, I'd think about him a lot, you know? And he taught me, like, all my good stories that I got. He was there for a lot of them, you know? And, I don't know, man. It's like, I'm surprised he still fucks with me because I was like the little brother he never wanted. He got a real nice Camaro one time, and I was fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And I got in, and I was like, I'm going to drive this son of a bitch. And I don't know what the fuck happened. That car was fucked up or something, but it ended up on a telephone pole. And it's like, God! I made it about 3 feet, you know what I'm saying? And I stole vehicles for a living, but this fucking was a different demon, you know what I mean? It's too low to the ground, I guess. I don't know. But I don't know, man. As far as, like, if there's anybody in here that thinks they can do it on their fucking own, you're more than welcome to try it, you know? We'll be here when you get back. You know, because I promise you, from my experience, whenever I thought that I could do it on my own, and I left, and I was like, fuck them meetings. You know, I've got everything that I want. You know what I mean? I don't need nothing else. You know? And I left. 2.5 years later, I come dragging my little sorry redheaded ass back in here. Madder than fuck, because everything had fell apart.
Yeah.
This program don't fucking work. You know, I wasn't doing shit, you know? So, I don't know, man. I'm sure my time's about up, but if you're new, welcome. Keep coming back, man. That's the best suggestion I can give you, is just keep showing up. Something will click. Something will work, you know? It sucks sometimes. It's fucking life. Life shows up. The hardest thing we'll ever do in here is find a new way to live, you know? That's the hardest part about this whole program, is finding a new way to live. But it can be done, man, because look around you. Everybody in here is doing it, you know? I don't know. I'm Chris Day. That's all I got.
Thank you, Chris. Woo! Real quick, my name's Chris. I'm Attic.
Hey, Chris.
Somebody's parked out front. You got a black SUV. It's got a trailer hooked to the back of it. It's got Utah license plates. It's a Spencer or Lauren Chaplin. That's your vehicle, and you don't move it, they're fixing to tow it. So do not park out front.
Thanks, Chris. Kelly Addict. All right, now we're going to welcome our second speaker, Rodney H., who's also sharing on self-sufficiency is a lie.
Hell yeah.
Now, Rodney!
I'm Rodney. I'm Nanny.
Hey, Rodney.
Got a lot of people here. It's kind of crazy how this coming out. I have been in every March Madness since I've gotten clean, and this has kind of become my second family from outside of my home area. And I know these guys really well, and we've had a lot of conversations, and where my area is going to be putting on Martinus, and we've had these conversations about that, and they've given me some of the inside info on how to do things. And Andy called me one night and said, you're coming to March Madness, aren't you? I said, well, yeah, of course I am. He said, well, great. You're going to be speaking. Damn. But I had a resentment for the past 6 years because I would come and they would never ask me to speak. I'd be like, what are they doing? You know, I can go down there and give them all the answers and save all these people. Because I have them. You know, I'm in Narcotics Anonymous, and I have all the answers. And then when it happens, I'm like, damn them, why are they doing this to me? That's the way things have worked for me. That self-sufficiency is a lie, man. When Andy told me that, I was sitting in the car when we got off the phone, and I thought, well, no, that's not right. And I was sitting there thinking about this, and my initial thought was, self-supporting is a lie. I had gotten it too. That's what my mind registered. We strive to be fully self-supporting. And in my experience, I also have to be willing to accept help at times. Self-sufficiency is a lie, man. I was thinking about it, and when I was using my clean dates 8, 12, 19, when I was using, I thought that I was this gangster that didn't need any money, and I was not a gangster. I thought I was calling all the shots when I was calling and asking for rides. I thought I was running this strong dope game when I was taking seconds or ripping you out of whatever you had. So I wasn't even self-supporting, self-sufficient when I was using. And then when I come into the rooms, man, there was I came in with that same attitude that I can come in here and I can stay clean on my own without the help of anyone else. White knuckling it. And I did that for a while. And things, I was still having those same patterns that I had while I was using. I was causing harm. I worked in a little restaurant that had a treatment center girls working at it. They weren't allowed to be around me. I was doing all this harm and all this stuff, and I couldn't understand why. I wasn't using drugs. I was no longer using drugs, so why is this behavior continuing? And along about 18 months clean, I started getting the awareness of all of this harm and hurt that I was causing. And it says in there that self-sufficiency is a lie. There's an admission that must be made. And once we make that admission, recovery and unity can begin. I made that admission without knowing it. I was making that admission because I was doing all this harm, and I needed other people. I needed the people of Narcotics Anonymous to show me how to live. And that, for me, is when I really dived into the program and started the work on myself with the help of others to end those behaviors that I was practicing. And listen, I say to end them. Some of them carried on. Some of them went away, and some of them come back. And that let me know that I continually need to be working on myself. One of the biggest, for me, points of awareness, when we come in here, we get stuff back, we get the jobs, we get a place to live, we get a vehicle. I was sitting in a meeting one night, and I had gotten all this stuff back. I had judges' phone numbers, I had lawyers' phone numbers, I was having regular conversations. I experienced what social acceptability was. I was sitting in a meeting, and I was sitting beside the door. And when I looked up, I was pissed at everybody in there. I was madder than hell. Didn't like none of them. Didn't need any of them. This is what's going through my head. Why are you here? Why do you mess with these people? You're important now. You got judge's number and they call you. Scared the living shit out of me. I sat there in that meeting. I got up and I got on the phone with my sponsor, with some people that had multiple years of clean time. Because we hear it in here all the time. We need each other. I hadn't been in the spot in my recovery where I thought that I didn't need each and every person sitting in the room. Everyone in here has something to offer to help me get another day clean.
That's right.
And for me to recognize that, it was only by the grace of God, because I was heading the fuck out the door. I was ready to go. And it scared me to death. and that self-sufficiency is what has always, for me, continued to carry the pain that I have suffered. I wouldn't allow anyone into my life. I wouldn't be honest with anyone. I wouldn't sit down and care for anyone other than myself. I wouldn't do none of these things because I thought that I could do life on my own. And it talks in the basic text about, in tradition one, about commitment, selflessness, love, and unity. And those are things that we look for in service. And I can also apply that in my personal life. And back to Mason for question 12 is on there, is how can we apply this in our life? If I'm applying commitment to myself and to others and being selfless and providing love and self-love and have unity, I'm allowing everyone into my life. I'm allowing everyone in to be there to help me. And this is something that I have just come to learn in the past year or so. I was the person at area that they'd make a motion and I'd go against it. I got all the answers. Yeah. They wanted to move the area to Zoom one time because of COVID. Like, hell no, we can't do that. I wasn't looking at the greater good for the group, the greater good for the people around me that were showing me how to live. I had those selfish desires that I wanted to push to get what I wanted. And I don't know, man, it's been a journey for me. I'm not one that, and you're counting on me for 30 minutes or hurt. I'm not a long, drawn-out speaker. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Kelly Addict. Let's just close this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by serenity prayer. God, grant us serenity to accept things we cannot change, courage to change things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference just for a day.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break till 1. At 1 o'clock, we're going to have food out here on the Blair patio, and our next workshop will be at 1 p.m. also.
Thanks, Andy. I was hoping to help a friend. They were sitting over there. I was going to have very good. I don't know. Are these for sale?
They're auction items.
Oh, okay.
Our auction's at 5 o'clock. They auction them off.
Oh, okay.